The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Werke, Chief Judge Siegel, Judge Ross, the Honorable Renee Werke presiding.
And again, a good morning. Today is January 13, 2022. We are still conducting our hearings, at least for today's portion of the oral argument via Zoom. Welcome to the Zoom platform. If there's any time that you can't hear or understand what's going on, raise your hand or make some kind of a remark. And I'll stop the clock so that we can address whatever the issue is. I'm going to ask that when you're not speaking, to please have your microphone muted. And I hope I don't have to remind you to unmute it when it's your turn to speak. Each of you, of course, are familiar with the appellate process. You'll have 15 minutes per presentation of your case, and an additional 5 minutes will be reserved to appellant counsel for rebuttal if you choose to exercise that. I also want to remind you, for our recording purposes, to please state your name and indicate which party you're speaking on behalf of before you begin your remarks. Now, with that said, I'll ask our marshal to call the first case for hearing and consideration.
Calling case number A210763, Landmark Community versus Lang.
And Mr. Mahoney, your appellant counsel, you have the floor.
May it please the court. My name is Michael Mahoney. I represent the plaintiff in this action, James Lang. There are two issues before the court this morning. One is whether there was an error of law with respect to the trial court's granting of a motion for summary judgment. And the second, whether the trial court abused its discretion in denying a motion for continuance to conduct discovery. I think if the court looks at this from a common sense point of view and looks at the facts and circumstances, it's clear that the record shows that what Mr. Lang was asking the court to consider was the fact that there was a motion for summary judgment to continue the judgment that was in effect for $147,000. And the challenge being brought by Mr. Lang was that that amount was in error. And the reason it was an error was because there was evidence, admissible evidence, that was submitted by affidavit showing that the bank, I'll just call it the bank, it's Landmark Community Bank, now known as Flagship Bank.
But if we understand the background on the bank, although there's a lot of information in the file about the movement of the bank to where it's at now, but obviously that's not necessarily pertinent to the proceedings. And here's my question. I am coming up with a question. You know, I read this file and you're saying let's keep it simple, but to me it looks like all we're looking at is not all, because I understand your client has issues in terms of personal property and what may or may not have happened on its the disposition of that property. But there was a judgment entered, and to me it seems it's more of a matter-of-fact application of procedure in order to have a judgment renewed. And that's, I don't know how we get into the other issues. And I guess that's what I want you to bridge for me, is why we would even consider as an appellate body anything other than whether the procedures were followed for judgment renewal.
Sure. The issue becomes the amount of the judgment. There was an action to renew the judgment, which goes back, I'll make it as easy as I can, like 10 years. So there was a judgment for $143,000 in January of 11. Then the perfect example of how that judgment got satisfied follows in April. In April of 11, there's a foreclosure sale. The foreclosure sale satisfied half of the judgment. So the judgment went from $143,000 to $75,000. Mr. Lang did not tender payment. He did not write a check. He did nothing. But the judgment of $143,000 was satisfied to the extent of about $75,000. So the analogy here is the simplest fact that I can identify is that the bank picked up property. That property is located in Crow Wing County, not in Polk County. The bank didn't tell Mr. Lang that it was selling that property. It sold some of that.
So you're
property.
Talking about the farm equipment and trucks and things of that nature when you say property. You're not talking about real property. You're talking about the chattel property, personal property.
Correct. I'll try to make that distinction each time. Pieces of equipment were sold. We know that we discovered in 2019 that the bank received gross proceeds of $14,000, net proceeds of $11,400. It's our position that the court could look at that transaction, apply the $11,400 the same way that the court looked at the sale of the real estate. That reduces the $75,000 judgment that had rolled forward to about $80,000 by about $11,000. The result of that, of course, is that the 10 years of interest is reduced substantially. So the argument to the court was there is evidence to show that Mr. Lang's property was sold by the bank. The bank received the money. The bank did not file a satisfaction. And as a result, Mr. Lang has suffered the consequence of the loss of personal property, call it money. The money went to the bank. The bank had an obligation to file a satisfaction. It didn't file a satisfaction. So the amount of the judgment, not the renewal of a judgment, the amount is in dispute. So Mr. Lang submitted evidence, again, it was not disputed, to show that his property had been taken. The property was in Crow Wing County. It's not secured property. It was not subject to the mortgage that's in Polk County. The bank had an obligation to file the satisfaction, and it didn't. So there's a material fact dispute with respect to the amount of money that should have been recorded on that judgment moving into 2020.
So boiling it down, you're trying to assert payment and satisfaction, which was rejected by the trial court in this matter.
Correct, Judge. The trial court looked and said three things which we think are erroneous. First, that the only way a judgment can be satisfied is with the filing of a satisfaction.
In the court's order, finding under payment satisfaction number 23 says here, the defendant, which would be you, does not allege he has tendered payment to satisfy the judgment. How is that erroneous?
That fact statement is correct. Mr. Lang is not alleging that he wrote a check, that he handed money over. Mr. Lang is alleging that the tendering of a payment is not the exclusive way by which a judgment is satisfied. And I just identified two facts in this case where the judgment was satisfied without Mr. Lang did not tender any money when his real estate was sold. Mr. Lang didn't tender any money when the bank took his equipment, sold it, and got money. So we think the trial court's error as a matter of law is that a judgment may only be satisfied by the tendering of a payment by the judgment debtor. We think the judgment can be satisfied in a number of ways, not the least of which is the court looking at the facts and saying a satisfaction had to be filed. I'm going to order the judgment reduced by the amount that's established. So Mr. Lang put forth evidence to show that his property had been taken, the bank had received money, and that money needed to be applied to the judgment because the bank had the control of it, and it didn't do that. So if I may, may I move on to the subject of the second part of this. The second part of the motion is that the trial court abused its discretion with respect to the denial of the motion for a continuance to conduct discovery. The trial court made three critical errors. The trial court said and found that Mr. Lang's discovery requests were not for the purpose of seeking information that had to do with the reduction of the judgment, but rather pursuing claims. Mr. Lang does not have any claims in this case. The only way he has claims is if he has a counterclaim. What he was submitting was, there are two affidavits that are extensive. I'm sure you've seen them. They provide information with respect to what he was looking for to be able to establish that in these circumstances, with these facts, the bank had taken property in Crow Wing County, not subject to a mortgage in Polk County, and the taking, selling, and receiving money is the kind of evidence that should be used to satisfy the judgment.
How I read the court's order, at least my interpretation of it, is that the court is saying it's not going to produce any other information because it's not relative to the summary judgment proceeding. But in fact, the trial court judge said, you're using this in order to buttress a case that's pending in Hennepin County. In what information or what facts are in dispute as it relates to the summary judgment the summary judgment process, I shouldn't say process, as it relates to the renewal of the judgment.
Goes back to the first point, Judge. The facts that Mr. Lang was seeking to discover was information to show that the bank had received money from the sale of property and failed to account for it, and that the bank must account for it to reduce the judgment. He doesn't have a claim for recovery of more than the amount of the judgment. But if the facts are such that Mr. Lang had something like 143 pieces of equipment, Mr. Lang has some information to show that that equipment was worth 10 times the judgment. As a result, Mr. Lang was trying to show, get facts to be able to establish that he's entitled to get the court, trial court, to reduce the amount of the judgment by that missing property and money.
But you didn't have a counterclaim, did you? In
correct.
The Hope County process. So, and you already knew and that the net for the sale of the personal property in the other county was $11,000. So what discovery did you need then?
There's 143 other items. We don't know where they all went. We don't know what other money the bank received. The bank
isn't
was,
that what you're pursuing in the Hennepin County action?
That's a counterclaim for money. So the answer is no. In the Hennepin County case, we're looking to recover money for wrongful conduct. Here, what we're focusing on is not wrongful conduct. Just the simple example of the bank took some property without notifying Mr. Lang, sold that property, received money, and never applied it to the judgment. And that we maintain in this action, the court had a duty to look at that math and say, if you got $14,000 gross money, just like the sheriff's sale, you must file a satisfaction. Failure to file a satisfaction, and only the bank can file a satisfaction. But a court could look at the evidence that we're looking to find and say, it's not just $11,000, it's some greater amount of money and applied to the judgment.
I think we understand your arguments, Mr. Mahoney, but there seems to be so many different avenues that your client has pursued, including an allegation that the property that we're talking about, the property that you're saying should have been applied against a judgment, that it wasn't sold in a reasonably commercial manner. And some of these allegations don't attack the ability to renew a judgment, but they go back to what happened at some point in the past, at least your allegation as it relates to another pending venue matter.
I think that's basically wrong. It's mathematics. It's an accounting. So if we look at the same circumstance that occurred with the sheriff's sale, the bank took property, having no right to that property, no UCC interest whatsoever, in a different county, sold it, received money, never reported that money, never applied the money. It's the bank's obligation to, just like the sheriff, if there had been a judicial procedure by which there had been a levy or an execution, it would have been accounted for. It's not accounted for. We can't find out all the facts and circumstances with respect to that, what the bank did with that property, because we don't have that information. The discovery in the other case was closed shortly after this order. So the discovery we're seeking in this case is to determine what property the bank picked up, disposed of, or sold, and what the proceeds were, and requiring that those proceeds, just like a sheriff's sale, must be applied to the judgment. The renewal of the judgment is not, that's not an issue. And there's,
if we agreed with you on the first issue, but not the second issue. That is, if we did not agree that the district court abuses discretion with regard to continuance and discovery, what is at stake is approximately $11,000. Am I correct about that, or am I misunderstanding?
You're misunderstanding. The only item that we know for sure, or items that we know for sure were sold, resulted in net sale of $11,000. We believe, have evidence that there are other items, significant items of property.
Right, but my question is, if we hold that the district court did not abuse its discretion in disallowing discovery, then what remains, all that is available is approximately $11,000 of personal property sale. Is that correct, or am I misunderstanding?
You're misunderstanding, Judge. One of the affidavits that was provided lists about 75 items of Mr. Lang's property. The whereabouts of that property, we don't know where all that went. Some of the items we know were sold at a private auction. I call it a private auction. It was just an auction in June and resulted in gross proceeds of $14,000. We do not know the whereabouts of the other property. So the relief that I'm seeking is, I believe the trial court erred as a matter of law in not recognizing that there was a material fact dispute with respect to the amount of the judgment. If that is reversed, there's no prejudice to the bank because the judgment renewal action has been timely. So there's no possibility that its judgment disappears. But there is a question about whether or not we can establish that money must be applied to that judgment. And the second part of the argument.
And your time has run up.
Thank you.
We're going to move on right away. You'll have your rebuttal to continue with your argument. And we'll turn to you now, Mr. Scott.
Thank you, judges.
May it please the court, your honors, opposing counsel. This is a case that is very narrow. The issues are, was the judgment renewal action timely brought? The answer is yes. And at that time, was the judgment satisfied of record? And the answer is no. It's a straightforward statutory process that is almost mechanical in nature. Minnesota statute.
Mr. Scott, it seems like Mr. Mahoney is arguing that it was at least partially satisfied, that there's no dispute about this $11,000. So how do you explain that?
Thank you, Your Honor. So we briefed in our respondent's brief the principle of comity, which is analogous to jurisdiction, which is the fact that these claims by Mr. Lang are being litigated in Hennepin County. Discovery is closed in Hennepin County. Extensive discovery has been conducted. Numerous depositions on this exact issue of the sale of personal property.
But what about the $11,000? Because you did get, there's now an order for interest, you know, dating all the way back. And Mr. Mahoney is saying, wait a minute, that's not right. Because we know at least the bank at least got $11,000 at some point. So that should be subtracted out of something in
Your
this
Honor,
deficiency judgment.
Your Honor, all those issues, in fact, is, oh my gosh.
I hit
my mouse. I'm sorry about that.
No, nothing happened on our end.
Okay. Your Honor, the Hennepin County case is scheduled for jury trial next month. In February. It was scheduled for trial in January. It's been continued. We don't need to wade in too far deep into the Hennepin County case, but as an example of what the Hennepin County case, Judge Miller is dealing with and what we're litigating is, for example, that $11,000 that was allegedly received at a sale of personal property, Judge Miller has already ruled that the vast majority of that, Mr. Lang has no claim to based on the doctrine of equitable estoppel. So, the Polk County District Court said, we're not going to go there. We are not going to relitigate what is being litigated in Hennepin County. The fact is nothing that Mr. Lang can do in discovery is going to change the fact that the judgment is not satisfied now. And whatever he claims that he can discover is not going to change the fact that of record, the judgment is not satisfied. And the Polk County
District. Is it fair to say that if you lose in Hennepin County and the dollar amount is awarded to Mr. Lang for whatever it is that he's asserted that he's lost, that they in fact can then have that applied on the judgment? You're not disputing that, right?
Your Honor, if Mr. Lang succeeds in his Hennepin County case, you know, there may be a judgment that offsets or competing judgments, or I don't know exactly how that would work out, but you're correct, Honor, that so be it. Let that litigation take its course. But Polk County correctly concluded that there's two cases dealing with the same subject. It was first brought in Hennepin County. That's the proper court, and it's not going to interfere with that and do a duplicative fishing expedition when the discovery has on the exact same issues has already taken place. Numerous motions. I mean,
I get that, but the one thing that troubles me is if the Polk County was, you know, Mr. Lang can show that at least it was partially satisfied, then, well, I suppose he could come in after the fact then and ask that the renewal judgment be altered under the rules. I mean, that's what's troubling me is what does he do then?
Well, Your Honor, we, you know, in our brief, as by way of background, this judgment was entered in 2011. In 2019, in response to some collection activity, Mr. Lang brought a motion to vacate the judgment under Rule 60.02, arguing he was never served with the summons and complaint. Polk County denied that motion. This court affirmed that decision. Mr. Lang petitioned for review to the Supreme Court, which was denied. As the 10-year period approached, we brought the judgment renewal action. Mr. Lang brought a motion to change the venue to Hennepin County, arguing, well, we're already litigating these issues. That was denied. Now he argues the judgment should not be renewed because he wants to conduct additional discovery. So it's, you know, he went for the home run to try to get it vacated. He lost. Now he's seeking to have discovery, and he's had 10 years to bring a motion under Rule 548.15, which seeks a court order satisfying a judgment or partially satisfying a judgment. That has never taken place. It's Mr. Lang's job or burden to establish that reversible error was made. That motion has never been made to Polk County or any court. And there's no satisfaction of record. There's no order ordering satisfaction of record. And so the district court was correct in saying, as a matter of law, this judgment is not satisfied and it can be renewed.
Well, my question goes to whether you see any difference between the Hennepin County and Polk County cases. So I understand that you're saying as a matter of comedy because the same subject matter is in dispute. On the one hand, Hennepin County for damages, on the other for partial satisfaction of judgment. I think your comedy argument might make sense, more sense as to the substance, but as to the type of judgment, I mean, what is it in their Hennepin County case that would allow for the relief that's sought here, which bears upon the amount of interest? Let's assume that they both say that there's $11,000 worth of personal property that was improperly taken, or that was taken and should apply to the judgment. In what way would Mr. Mahoney's client be able to recover the interest claim that he's seeking in this case if it's not applied in this case, but in Hennepin County?
Your Honor, it is the exact same issues in the case. He in Hennepin County, the argument is that he had his personal property taken and he is suing my client for that. It's a little bit of a semantics here where he says, well, it's different because even though it's the exact same subject matter, I'm not making a claim for damages in one case. I'm only asserting that the judgment should be satisfied based on that same claim. And Hennepin County is deciding that claim, and trial is set for next month. If Mr. Lang succeeds in his trial in Hennepin County, again, so be it. That will affect the judgment, or he'll have a judgment. But Pope County cannot decide that issue on whether he's entitled to $11,000 or not, because that is going to jury trial next month. And that,
so essentially, Mr. Scott, you're saying if when the auction took place, and even though he says, wow, $11,000 wasn't a commercially reasonable fee to have generated, that even if that auction took place, it was up to him to then to seek to have that dollar amount applied on his Pope County judgment.
Correct, Your Honor. And he's never done that in 10 years. He's never brought that motion under Minnesota Statute 548.15. And I just use that one example about estoppel that Judge Miller ruled that with respect to that $11,000, he essentially does not have a claim for the vast majority of that. And the reason I say that is not to dig into the weeds in Hennepin County, but just that's why it doesn't make sense for Pope County to start ordering a satisfaction of a certain amount when that amount is being litigated by another court.
So in terms of the amount of money the bank's gotten paid back, is it your position that it's still, what happened to the $11,000? Are you saying, there may be equitable defenses and stuff and this and that, but doesn't the bank have an obligation to apply proceeds to debt or to pay partial payment of interest or something?
Well, so for example, again, in Hennepin County, Judge Miller has ruled that that personal property, the vast majority of that was not Mr. Lang's.
Ah, okay.
So that's an example of why it doesn't make sense for Polk County.
Pause for a moment. Let's assume for the sake of hypothetical that it is arguably Mr. Lang's. How do you respond to Judge Siegel's question in that regard? That do you dispute that if it is Mr. Lang's property, it should have been applied to reduce the judgment amount?
Under the hypothetical that it was Mr. Lang's property?
Yes.
Well, we have a court order that says it wasn't.
Right. That's what hypotheticals are. It's assuming a fact that may not be the case. So let's assume that it was the case. Was it the bank's responsibility to include it to reduce the amount?
In a hypothetical, that could be the case, but there are other issues involved there as well. For example, amount of money it cost for Landmark to remove that property versus what it's worth. So there are more factors in place than just the way appellant's making it sound as though Landmark got $11,000. This was personal property that was left after.
Well, I think what he's arguing is it's in play as a disputed issue of fact as to whether it was Lang's property, and if so, how much should be applied to satisfy the judgment. I think that's the argument.
Yeah, Your Honor. And again, I would just say that those issues are being litigated, and Pope County District Court was correct when it looked at the record to say there's no satisfaction, partial satisfaction. There's no motion in front of me asking for that. There is no order establishing that. And we're not going to engage in discovery that has already taken place in another venue.
So you foreclosed on the property, you got a deficiency judgment. The deficiency judgment was partially satisfied at the beginning, at the onset, by bidding in on the real property that was sold, and that established your judgment. So time goes on, blah, 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 and you do whatever you need to do to get rid of the junk or the heightened value as asserted by Mr. Lang of stuff that's there. But what you're saying is that the bank did not receive any proceeds that could have been applied on the outstanding judgment. Is that what you're saying? And now we turn around in Hennepin County and Mr. Lang has said, wait a minute, I had all sorts of property. And a judge has said, well, it wasn't your property. And that's what's disputed there. So you've got another suit going on in Hennepin County claiming that you sold something and you're saying, no, we never sold anything that amounted to anything to be applied. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, Your Honor. The facts are a little complicated because there was three different properties.
I get that.
And then that is why it's squarely in front of Judge Miller in Hennepin County. But essentially, if you look at what's been decided, the law of the case by Judge Miller and some other factors, we don't believe there is any proceeds to apply to the judgment. So just
curious, did you docket the judgment then in Hennepin County?
I believe the judgment has been docketed in Hennepin County. This was, at this point, this was years ago before our firm was involved, but if my recollection serves me correct, it has been docketed in Hennepin County.
Again, hypothetically, assume Mr. Lang prevails in Hennepin County, the district court reverses itself and says, no, what some of the property was in fact yours and improperly taken or whatever. There's some basis for the claim. Let's assume that happens. Is there any circumstance in Hennepin County, in a Hennepin County judgment for recovery that would include the interest challenge that Mr. Lang is making in this case?
I believe Mr. Lang could make that argument to Hennepin County and look at the facts and when the judgment was entered and what he may or may not prevail on and determine what the proper result is there with the potentially competing judgments or reduced judgment amount and how the interest is impacted on that.
So under that hypothetical, he could also receive and be awarded interest that accrued on a judgment that was unsatisfied.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I'm not trying to trick you, but under Judge Ross's hypothetical, I think what we're trying to ferret out here is let's just say, you know, like Hennepin County gets a jury verdict, and is he also then entitled to ask the court in Hennepin County to award him the wrongfully accrued interest on what the judgment should have been in Pope but wasn't?
I don't.
All right. That's fine. It was just, we're doing this on many hypotheticals.
Well, if I could follow up, I'm just curious. My question goes, it's similar. Maybe you do have the answer to this, but are you aware of any legal bar that would prohibit Mr. Lang from seeking the kind of damages that we're talking about in Hennepin County? In other words, consequential damages that result, that would accrue, including the interest offset that he's asserting he should be entitled to in this case.
In this case, I thought my understanding is they're not asserting damages.
No, I'm sorry. In the Hennepin County case, if he should prevail, is there any legal or procedural rule that you know of that would prohibit Mr. Lang from seeking as some type of consequential damages the interest that he says he would be entitled to in this case if he were to prevail here under the
Mr. Scott, sorry. Mr. Scott, your time is run, but please answer the question.
Thank you, Your Honor. So in other words, would his assertion in this matter that he's entitled to either a reduction in interest or a different interest rate?
Right.
And if he prevails in Hennepin County, I believe it is properly within Hennepin County to look at those issues and decide. Again, there's a lot of factors here, but I believe it would be the court in Hennepin County would have the ability to factor in those arguments.
Thank you.
If I may.
Ms. Mahoney, go ahead. I was going to see if there's any other questions, but go ahead.
Judge Ross, it's my belief, it's my experience, I believe this is a jury trial, that the damages and the questions that are going to be presented to the jury with respect to damages, those have already been decided. The jigs are in, everything is there. The issue we're now talking about is not before the Hennepin County District Court.
Well, the question for me wasn't so much whether it was before the district court, but whether there would have been any prohibition, anything that would have stopped your client from seeking those types of damages as consequential to whatever harm was suffered and what other the basis for liability that's being asserted. Are you aware of any prohibition, anything in the law or the rules that would have prohibited your client from seeking those damages in Hennepin County?
If I understood the question, it was past tense. Prohibited him from? Yes. This is a Pope County judgment. The Hennepin County Court does not have jurisdiction over the Pope County
judgment. Well, but you're asking for damages, right, in the Hennepin County for, you know, wrongful whatever it is, taking of personal property for not, I don't know what all your claims are, but wouldn't a portion of the damages be? And I've got this judgment hanging over me in Pope County. So you need to add that into the damages so that that nets out the Pope County judgment. If in fact you show that that's never been owed or partially not owed.
Okay, but the analysis is this interest question. And one of the interest... The question becomes, if the judgment should have been satisfied in April of 11, then by my calculations, by the 11,000, there's $20,000 in more interest that's been accrued on it. That is not part of the Hennepin County case. We did not know, Mr. Lang did not know of this sale until November of 2019. This was a secret sale. There was no notice of the sale. The property was removed. Mr. Lang was told that his property was going to be
safe. That's part of your Hennepin County proceedings. That wouldn't be relative to a judgment that's just a stat. I don't want to use the word static, but a judgment that's been duly entered, interest is accruing. So you bring the Hennepin County matter and saying the bank has done all of these bad things and we're entitled to X, X, and X. And you would also say, now we found out at the 12th hour that this stuff was secretly sold. I mean, that's a part of your action in Hennepin County, would it not be?
It should be here. And the reason it should be here is the question was asked earlier, I believe it was Judge Ross, was, you know, why didn't you do something earlier? And the answer was, Mr. Scott made the argument that Mr. Lang has not brought this forth in terms of trying to reduce the judgment for 10 years. And the reason is Mr. Lang did not know until November of 2019 that this sale had occurred, that his property had actually been sold. So
that's a part of your lawsuit in Hennepin County.
I believe it's part of this matter. I do not see or understand how a district court looking at a judgment can say, we don't have to pay any attention to the fact that they got money. We just look at the record, and if the record shows there's no satisfaction and Mr. Lang didn't write a check, that's it for us. We don't. Justice is not part of what we do. Thoughtful analysis of what occurred is not part of what we do. We just look at, there's a judicial record of a judgment. There's no satisfaction filed of the judgment. So
I don't know if that's a fair characterization of what's going on when you have two different courts, two different counties, and the fight is over the same subject matter. For one court to say, we've got another court out there that's ruling on this and that's ruling unfavorably to Mr. Lang, which would bear upon the merit of the arguments made in Pope County. So I don't know that it's a fair characterization. Is it to say that the district court, that you're implying the district court just simply cavalierly overlooking what could be some property that satisfied the judgment in part?
I am. And the reason is the Pope County District Court said clearly, even if Mr. Lang gets a judgment in Hennepin County, it does not satisfy the Pope County judgment. So Judge Ross, your question about how does this interest get analyzed, and Judge Siegel's question of, but there's money that's been received and never been accounted for. So I submit that it was error for the district court to not recognize that there is a fact dispute. Just the fact that we're discussing this in as many different ways as we can, there is a fact dispute with respect to whether or not that judgment should have been partially satisfied. I also submit that the court should have granted some discovery. I think my time's up.
Your time is up, and obviously your presentations today, your arguments are helpful, as well as the briefing that we've received.